All right, we got everybody back. Okay, somebody pray for our time in God's Word.
Lord, thank you for this time to study your Word in the book of Matthew. I ask that you'll bless it and bless your speaker, and that your Word would be just filling us up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Game. Here's the game. I'm going to show you a picture. It's a picture of a plant. You tell me what it is. So you're going to have to look at it and just tell me what it is. Okay, we ready? Here's the first one. Can you see it? Okay, it's an orange tree. Very good. That wasn't too hard, was it? Banana tree. All right. You guys are good. Strawberry plant. Woohoo! 3 for 3.
Tulips.
Cactus. It's an apple tree. You can see all the apples on it, right? Like from a distance, maybe you couldn't tell those were apples. Grapevine. Roses. Okay. You guys got them all. You're good. You officially passed. You can now work in a nursery selling plants. That's not the purpose of this little game, though. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20 says this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." Okay. That's what you just did, wasn't it? In the game. Didn't you just recognize the plant by its fruits? What you see on the outside told you what the plant was. But Jesus is, he's using trees and fruit and whatnot to talk about something else here. He's not really intending to talk about trees and fruit. It's just a metaphor. Jesus is talking about false prophets. So look at verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." And so He identifies his topic in verse 15. He's talking about false prophets. He then tells us in verses 16 through 18, and then again in verse 20, how to identify them. How do you identify a false prophet? By their fruits is how you identify them. And then he also tells us what is their end result. That's verse 19. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." That's what happens in the end to these false prophets. Now, he speaks as if false prophets are kind of common. He just sort of talks as if you're going to come across them. Beware of them, he says. And they are common. He also speaks as if they are dangerous. Look at verse 15 again. He says, beware of them. And then he calls them ravenous wolves. You don't want to get in their grip. You don't want to come under their power. They'll eat you. And so, beware and wolves. Now, in Scripture, a prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God. He speaks God's words to the people. That is what a prophet is. A false prophet, therefore, is someone who claims to speak for God, but who doesn't. And this concept is all throughout the Old Testament. It says, Jesus doesn't invent the idea of false prophets. Jesus, everybody he's talking to is going to be familiar with false prophets because he's talking to Jews, and the Jews know all throughout their history God has talked about false prophets. He's been talking about him for thousands of years. And so, in Jesus' day, he might call the Pharisees false prophets because they were religious teachers. They sat in the seat of Moses, and they were very proud of sitting in the seat of Moses. They set their hope on Moses. It says that in John 5, verse 45. But Jesus then says, if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote about me. And so they say they believe in Moses, but they really don't believe in Moses, because Moses wrote about Jesus, and they don't believe in Jesus. They reject what Moses said, while all along claiming to follow Moses. That's what the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' own day. And so that would be an example of this. The Pharisees said, Abraham is our father, in John 8. But Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works Abraham did, in the next verse in John 8. Right after they say they are Abraham's children. Abraham is our father. They claim to speak for God, but they reject the Son whom God has sent. They're false prophets. They wear God's clothes, but they don't have God's heart. That's what these people are like. Now, I told you this is all throughout the Old Testament. It goes all the way back to Cain making sacrifices, but they're false sacrifices, but thinking that he's making real sacrifices. And they come all the way up to today. They're as recent as Rob Bell, who's contemporary right now, who wrote books saying God's love means that everyone will get to know God. Everyone will go to heaven because God's loving. That's false prophet. And that's today. And so false prophets are as ancient as the human race, and they will be here till the Lord returns. They're not going anywhere. You can't get rid of them. And so what we have to do as God's people is learn to identify them so that we can, one, avoid them personally, but also warn people about them. And so Jesus really spends most of this little section talking about how to identify them. You will recognize them by their fruits. He says, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So by their fruits you will recognize them. That's what he says. Now, what he doesn't do is get very specific. That's kind of a broad picture, right? You can recognize false prophets by their fruits. But it's helpful. It does say that you can recognize them. So think of fruit then. Let's talk about this. What's fruit? When I showed you the pictures, there was a tree and there were oranges on the tree. And you knew it was an orange tree because there were oranges on the tree. And I showed you a strawberry plant and you knew it was a strawberry plant because there were strawberries. The fruit told you what the plant was. What you see on the outside says something about the DNA. Now, you can't see the DNA of a grapevine. You just see the grapes that the DNA produces. And Jesus says people are just like this. You can't see necessarily into their heart, but you can see the fruits. You can see the outward, what they say and what they do. That's how you tell fruit. For the person's fruit is what they say and what they do. So false prophets claim to represent Christ. And they fool most of the world. But if you know what Christian fruit looks like, they shouldn't fool you. False prophets give themselves away with their words. Luke, recording the same, actually Luke's recording this same thing. He's talking about you shall know them by their fruits, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hear that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we say comes out of our heart. And what's in our heart eventually comes out of our lips. That's what Jesus is saying. So that gets at things like teaching. What we teach shows what's in our heart. It gets at things like slander and criticism and cursing, and what comes out of the mouth is what is in the heart. It's not really a mouth issue, it's a heart issue. When we see that. You can tell a tree by its fruit. Now, false prophets are generally in positions of leadership. And so these are prophets. These are supposed to be teachers, people speaking on behalf of God to the people, leaders. But they teach something false. While they stand in the seat of where they're supposed to be teaching something true. That's they dress up in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. In other words, they're disguising themselves. Jesus is saying, on the outside, they look good. They dress up like sheep. But on the outside, you'll know them by their fruits. It's almost a tension there. Can you tell them or not? They're dressed up like sheep, but you can tell them by their fruits. And so, now, to most of the world can't tell because they're dressed up like sheep. Most of the world will say, oh, those false prophets, they're Christians. They don't know any better. They don't really know the scriptures. They don't know what Christian fruit looks like. And so when someone claims to speak for Christ, they just believe them. And yet to a Christian who's, if you know the scriptures, you can begin to discern the fruit, what it really is. So, some modern examples, just to give you modern-day pictures of false prophets. I told you earlier about Rob Bell. He says there is no hell. Everyone makes it to heaven because God loves. That's what love means to Rob Bell. Of course, last week when we looked at what Jesus said, he said, remember, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. And the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus would disagree with Rob Bell that everyone gets on the right path. Everyone doesn't get on the right path, according to what Jesus said. And Jesus, nobody talks about hell more than Jesus. And Jesus is the loving guy. And so here's the loving guy who actually talks about the reality of hell. We can't deny that. Now, we don't let go of the love, but we can't deny that. That's a false prophet. Another example that I've spoken of before, and that's the prosperity gospel. This is the idea that says, come to God, and you'll get rich, and you'll be healthy, and all your problems will go away. And really, when people do that, they're not coming to God. What they want is getting rich and having all their problems to go away. They're not interested in God. They're interested in the other things that God can provide. But it isn't God himself that they want. That's not biblical. The prosperity gospel, when people suffer, sometimes it gets, you suffer? Well, it's because you don't have enough faith. If you had enough faith, your suffering would go away. This idea is, these are false prophets. Guys, just think for a moment, Scripture. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He had no home. He had one piece of clothing, and in the end, he was crucified. That's our Savior. Paul was whipped and stoned and said, it is given to us to suffer. This is part of the reality of the Christian faith. And when we change the gospel to what we don't want, we're not pursuing Christ and the cross, we're pursuing money and health, then we're changing the gospel. Those are false prophets. False prophets, modern false prophets, deal with modern sexual ethics is another place you will find them. And they often, the culture sometimes creeps inside the church. Should be the other way around. The church should be influencing the culture, but often the culture influences the church. And people like, I think of Matthew Vines or Jen Hatmaker today, these are people today, who say you can honor God and affirm homosexual behavior. But to do that, you have to deny what the Bible says about homosexual behavior. And it's really pretty clear. It's not vague. 1 Corinthians 6 just says, men who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, these people who are trying to rewrite biblical sexual ethics are false prophets. You'll know them by their fruits. If you know what Christian fruit looks like and you see what they say, you know they're false prophets. It's just like Revelation, the church to Thyatira, where Jesus says to that church, he says, "Yet I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who claims to be a prophetess, but teaches my people to commit sexual immorality." Hear that? She claims to be a prophetess. She's a prophet. But she teaches my people to commit sexual immorality. It's not that idea is not just in the 21st century. It goes back all the way to the first century. Revelation was written in the 90s. And so a different form of sexual immorality today, but the same idea. Teachings that say you can know God by being good are false teachings. They completely deny the plain sense of Scripture that says we are naturally sinful. We cannot know God on our own. We're not made right by keeping the law, or by being good, or by doing right. But we're made right by faith in Christ through the blood of the cross. That's just Ephesians 2, or Romans 3, or the entire book of Galatians. That's a central theme in the New Testament. But people still will say it's our good deeds that get us to heaven. And if that's the case, then no one's going to get to heaven, because no one really has good deeds. There's none who does good, none who seeks God, that the Scripture says. Or false prophet on the other side. This is the opposite teaching. Faith means my behavior doesn't matter. And there are people who teach this. What they're trying to do is avoid that first false teaching, which says we get to God by being good. And then, so they say, no, we don't get to God by being good. We get to God by our faith, which is true. And how I live doesn't matter, because it's my faith, which is false. That second part is false. How you live does matter. Not because your good behavior gets you to God, but because if you have faith, it affects how you live, if you have real faith. And so sometimes these people are, I'm justified by my faith. You know what? I prayed a prayer. I'm done. I'm done with it. I don't have to change my life. But think of the Scriptures. Ephesians 2:10, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Romans 6:11, therefore consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have died, and your life is now hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3. All through the Scriptures, there's this idea that you've been changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. How you live matters. Not because how you live gets you to heaven, but because your faith changes how you live. It's your faith that brings us to heaven, but it is our faith that changes who we are and how we live. Okay, everything I've given you, these are just examples of false prophets that I can think of from today. I mean, every teaching I gave you, you could go online right now and find it by somebody who's teaching that right now. This is 21st century stuff. And what you should see in all of them is that there is a teaching that goes against Scripture. It denies the Bible in some form, in some area. Okay, you will know them by their fruits, Jesus said. You will recognize false prophets by their fruits. If you don't know Scripture, you don't know what good fruit looks like. And it's going to be hard for you to recognize false prophets and false teachings. Guys, we have to know Scripture. This is for a Christian, this is not even negotiable. We have to know Scripture. It's a matter of spiritual survival. We have to know it. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud. Just you can answer in your head. Yesterday, how much time did you spend in Scripture? Just reading, learning, in prayer. Yesterday, how much time did you spend on the internet? Or how much time did you spend on your phone? Or how much time did you spend watching a show or listening to music? And not just yesterday, this past week, same question. How much time are we spending in Scripture versus how much time are we spending with these other things? Where your time is where your priorities are. And I don't want to turn this into like a legalism thing. You know, I'm on the clock. I got to, you know, measure how much time I... No, forget all that. But what we feed our mind matters. And it matters. It's huge. What we feed our mind is huge. If we consistently spend more time listening to the world out there than we do listening to God and what He has to say through the Word of God, then we're consistently feeding our mind messages that aren't going to help us walk with God. And you're going to have a hard time discerning false prophets because you don't know the real thing. You don't know what the good fruit looks like. In fact, the world's going to confuse you because where our time is, that's what we think is normal. And that's a problem when what's normal is the world. What's spiritually normal is what the world says. That's a problem. We will not be able to discern false prophets. And when that happens, they'll come and take your soul. And they will eat you for lunch. Jesus says they are ravenous wolves. Ravenous means really, really hungry. And cruel. Beware of false prophets, he says. Learn to discern truth. Now, these prophets are leaders, I told you. Leaders need to be tested. You need to test leaders. In fact, what I am saying to you right now is something you need to test by Scripture. And so get into the Scripture and test it. And it's not just my words, my life. You should test my life by Scripture as well. And when I say that, I don't mean you should expect me to be a perfect person. Christians sin. Sometimes a good tree has a few bad apples on it. And so you tell a good tree not by the two apples that are bad, but by the 400 apples that are good. It's what's the norm on the tree? But the norm doesn't mean that every apple is good. And so there needs to be an allowance sometimes for leaders to sin, because they're as human as you are. At the same time, there also needs to be, we need to see in their lives something in general that lines up with Scripture. And so you have to look at the whole picture. But to do that, to evaluate my words, you have to know what Scripture says. And to evaluate my life, you have to know what Scripture says as well. Now, sometimes it's obvious, but, you know, that something's wrong or something's right, because everybody recognizes certain things as being wrong or being right. But sometimes it's not so obvious. And so we have to know the Word of God, and we have to know the Word of God better than we know the latest song. And to do this requires the Word of God inside us. It needs to get in inside. Paul said, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly," Colossians 3. This also requires the Holy Spirit in us. Paul said, you are the temple of God if the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in his people, and we need to allow him reign in us. This requires the gospel in us. The gospel needs to change us if we're going to recognize good prophets from false prophets. See, it's the gospel that changes our hearts. The cross sacrifices our old self, and the resurrection gives us a new life. We're new creatures in Christ. And God gives us new hearts in the gospel. He takes away our stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh. That's how Jeremiah put it when he was talking about this new covenant that was coming. And with these new hearts that the gospel gives us, we're able to begin to sense bad hearts that deny Scripture and that deny the power of God. This section in Matthew, it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and we've talked over and over again that the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon about the kingdom of God. Kingdom people who live by kingdom principles will be able to detect false prophets. But if we do not live by kingdom principles, we will be deceived and devoured by the wolves, because, well, they look like sheep. Okay. This week, what I want you to do is to get into God's Word. I want you each day to commit to time where you're reading the Bible. Read it. And read it to know it. I don't mean read it to know it intellectually, but from the heart. Read it to know God. It was written by God that you might know God. So read it that you might know God. And I also want you to take maybe 15 minutes each day and begin to memorize some scripture. You can memorize the scripture I just gave you. You say, oh, this is, it's too much time. I don't have that kind of time. Yeah, you do. Listen, you're already spending more time than that on all kinds of other stuff. And so you can cut out something. We're spending lots of time on our job or our school or the internet or whatever it is. And which is more important, your work or your God? And so the time is there. We have the time. And so let's commit to getting into the Word of God. That's how you're going to discern false prophets. Okay, let me pray. Lord, you warn us to beware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And you tell us we can recognize them by their fruits. I pray you put us in your word that we may recognize false prophets by their fruits. But first, that we may know you. For if we are in your word, that's how we will get to meet you. Bless you, God. Thank you for your word. It's so precious. Thank you for it. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.